Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Bulls fans, to another episode of the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. I am with my friend and co-host Trey Hill. I am Keith Cork. Obviously, we are here to break down a bit of a disappointing loss here, Trey, against the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bulls fall 112 to 118 late. Competitive game throughout. Obviously, the Bulls fell down by about. They fell behind by about, I don't know, 12, 14 points in the first quarter. And then they made a run to close the second quarter. And from there on, man, it was pretty much neck and neck. And I was proud of the Bulls for staying, you know, in this one. Still down, obviously, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, Patrick Williams. I'm going to keep harping on that because I think it's just such a huge loss. But, man, I think they learned a few things about beating this Milwaukee Bucks team. What do you think?
I got to see, so when I started watching, it was like the middle of the second quarter. So I got to see all of the good stuff for the Bulls. I didn't see the bad where they got down 14 points. But the good that I saw was, first off, the effort level. Mm. And especially the announcers, Doris Burke and I can't remember the other guy's name. I know his name was RR, but I can't remember what his name was. They mentioned just the energy that like Kobe White, Derek Jones Jr., Javonte Green, they were bringing whenever they were out there. So that was really promising. And the Bulls were kind of doing some different things on defense, you know, to cover Giannis. But the Bulls aren't known for having complicated defensive schemes. So the fact that they were doing anything different at all, that's an encouraging sign for me.
Yeah. And you know me, Trey, you know, I like to harp on Donovan and his lack of imagination on both offense and defense. But I did like what I saw out of defense tonight. I thought Tristan Thompson, again, I'm going to give kudos to the front office again, because I thought this was a fantastic signing for the Bulls. Not that anyone can stop Giannis Antetokounmpo, because they can't. But Tristan Thompson is a darn good big body to throw at, that kind of guy. And I thought having him was really the big difference here between our last meeting with this team and this meeting. Obviously, in our last meeting, if you remember, Trey, we were down Javonte Green. I don't believe Derrick Jones Jr. played either. So we just, or maybe he did, but we just didn't have anybody to guard Giannis, just no size at all to really match up with him. And he just destroyed us, and it really wasn't even close. But in this one, I felt like they did a really good job containing Giannis, and they forced other people to beat him. And you know what? Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, great players, man. And they ended up beating us. They, you know, Drew Holiday in that fourth quarter, just insanity down the stretch there. And then Chris Middleton, I think he shot like, I don't even have it up, but he shot like definitely well over 50% tonight, and hit every single shot he took. So force other people to beat us. Giannis didn't beat us. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the outcome, even though we lost. Obviously, we want to win this one, but it was always going to be a tough win, especially on a back-to-back, right?
Yeah, I was really surprised that the Bulls were in it as much as they were, to be honest, considering the fact that it was a back-to-back for us. It wasn't for them. I thought the most encouraging thing for me was really, I'm going to keep harping on the defensive schemes, the way they were able to avoid getting very many defensive 3-second calls, even though they were really kind of playing. They almost had like a zone shade against Giannis every time he was out there. And the way they were able to double him and to rotate on the back end, that's what really just kind of stuck out for me.
Yeah, and also the activity on the boards too, I would say. Even though the Bulls were undersized, I'm sure we got outboarded tonight. Let me see here. The Bucks ended up with 61.
They had 10 more rebounds, it looks like.
45. I see 16 more. So I don't know which one. Who knows which one's right? I think 16 more sounds probably more right to me. But yeah, they beat us on the board.
Yeah, that sounds more correct.
Yeah, they beat us on the boards. Giannis had 16 boards, obviously, 4 offensive rebounds. Drew Holiday had 4 offensive rebounds for some reason. I can't wait for Lonzo Ball to come back, man. It's just going to be such a game changer, I think. His activity, not even just on offense and on defense, but also on the rebounds. He's just such a big body, and it would just help so much. But anyways, listeners, please take a moment to follow at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. It's the single most dominant fantasy and basketball news feed on Earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. So please go follow it now. Yeah, so Tristan Thompson, you know, he started obviously tonight, started out guarding Giannis. Obviously, the coaching staff doesn't have much concern about any limitations that we see on the offensive end from that. And I was watching on the offensive end, Trey. I didn't see any really bad limitations, honestly, from having Tristan Thompson and Nikola Vucevic in the lineup at the same time. What about you? Did you see anything that you didn't like out there on the offensive side?
No, and again, I didn't see the start of this game, so whenever they started out, I didn't get to see how that worked. But in the second half, whenever they were out there together, it didn't seem to be an issue at all. And again, that's probably because Vucevic can shoot the three from, you know, all around the perimeter. I'm pretty sure I noticed at one point they were both kind of in the post, a little kind of occupying the same space, and Vucevic was able to just literally back up into the corner and was wide open for a corner three. So Vucevic can get out of Tristan's way well enough that I think it worked. The combination of the two work well together.
Interestingly enough, Trey, Vuce missed my little New Year's resolution for him. He only got nine boards, so he ended up with 19-9, just one short of that triple-double. I thought he had a great game, though. This isn't something I'm going to lay on Vuce at all. I know I've been hard on him this year, but I thought he played a fantastic game. Every single time he got the ball, he was in a great position. He was confident with going to score the basketball wherever he was on the court. Just like you said, it could have been a three, could have been a mid-range jumper or down the post. Confidence, a quick move, scored with ease. He was 8 of 13 from the floor, obviously, so 62%-ish. Couple assists, couple steals, 3 turnovers, no big deal. I thought this was a fantastic Vuce game. I have no qualms at all about how he played. Tristan Thompson only played about 20 minutes, but 4 points, 5 personal fouls, 3 rebounds. He did what he had to do out there. He occupied a role very well, I thought. DeMar DeRozan, you missed DeMar DeRozan's struggles in the first quarter, Trey, but he started the game. Let's see, I have it marked down here. Started 1 for 8.
I was going to say, I heard the announcers mention he started 1 for 8, so I knew he definitely had a rough time going, from the jump.
Yeah. So started 1 for 8. He finished strong, obviously. Didn't have his best game of the season, but he came in, he came in clutch when it mattered. Didn't think it was a bad DeRozan game. It wasn't necessarily the best DeRozan game we've ever seen, but we can't rely on this guy to carry us every single game. He did shoot just 36.7% from the field, 11-30 from the field. But again, I'm not laying any kind of loss at his feet here. I'm sure when we listen to his presser, he's going to say something along the lines of, I could have played better on offense or something like that. That's just the kind of guy he is, but I'm not going to lay this loss at his feet. 2 of 3 from the field, from the 3-point line, by the way. I thought he was doing a fantastic job picking his spots from the 3-point line. And he was shooting, Trey, because I don't know. I remember from our midseason grades, if you saw his shooting chart, his threes from the top of the key, awful. He's just like well below league average. But if the threes from the corners is where he's actually excelling this season, he's actually shooting above league average there. And I thought he did a fantastic job getting to that spot to shoot the 3-point ball. So what do you think about DeMar DeRozan tonight?
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. SpringHill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Again, I got to see the good part of the DeMar DeRozan tonight. So, you mentioned the three-point shot. You're right. He does, percentage-wise, it's, you know, it's not likely to go in. But every time he pulls up from one, I just have the most confidence in the world that it's going in, because he only takes, you know, like just the highest quality three-point shots. And he's been so fantastic as a jump shooter all year that when you see him take an open shot, you just assume it's going in. I loved watching him play against Holiday, against Middleton, you know, trying to challenge Giannis at the rim. The Bucks, they won the title last year. They're my title favorite this year. They weren't on the second night of a back-to-back. This was a great test, you know, like a barometer test. And when you ask DeMar DeRozan to carry us against a team like this, he's going to have games where he shoots 11 of 30 because the defense is just like, it's a championship level defense. They proved that last year.
Yeah, so, this defense is great. So,
right. You mentioned earlier having Lonzo out, that hurts significantly with his playmaking talent. Having Caruso out, that hurts. Those guys, you know, they help alleviate a little bit. And you hope that the Bulls can go back, watch some tape, and find, you know, a few more places where they can have some advantage. Because adding Tristan Thompson, that's not something where you can figure out all of the wrinkles, all of the things where you can use him to the, you know, the most beneficial ways in just a few games. So I think his ability to play beside Vucevic, that opens things up to where the Bulls can learn from this.
I do think that there's something to learn there with that double big lineup. I think it's only the second time we've seen it all season, obviously. And Tristan Thompson's only been with the team for, what, 4 or 5 games. So it's definitely a learning experience. It's not something I'm expecting to be picture perfect right off the bat. I don't know if you saw it, Trey, but there was a play in the first quarter where Zach LaVine was, for whatever reason, I don't know what was in his mind, but he was leaking out on offense, streaking down the floor, trying to get an easy bucket, I guess, or just fill the lanes for a fast break.
Mark K tweeted it out. Yes, I saw it.
Yeah, and obviously he ran right past where the area where the rebound fell, and Drew Holiday grabs it and just makes an easy layup. And Tristan Thompson's like freaking out about it because he's like, "What are you doing, dude?" And I kind of had the same reaction, but just a mental lapse, I think, from Zach, and it's something we've been seeing a lot from the season. A lot has been said about him not being 100% health wise, obviously with the knee. I don't think this has nothing to do with that, though. I think, you know, being mentally ready and prepared for the game and being mentally engaged in the game at all times. And I don't mean to pick on Zach. He had a great game tonight. But this is an instance, and we do see it quite often this season, Trey, where just, I don't know, Zach just has a mental lapse of some sort. And it's happening more this season than last season, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, to me, it reminds me of the football when a wide receiver doesn't look the ball, or he looks around, he doesn't catch the ball. Zach's getting too far ahead of himself before, you know, just taking it one step at a time. He was ready to leak out and to, you know, to run and put pressure on Milwaukee, because when you let the Bucks get into a half court defense, it's extremely hard to score on. So the Bulls were trying every chance they had to get out in transition, to get an easy bucket. But to get that bucket, you have to get the rebound first. And, you know, you have to be, you know, fundamentally sound, especially against a team like Milwaukee, where they're going to make you pay every mistake you make.
And honestly, I'd rather have Zach. I mean, in most case scenarios, in most scenarios, I'd rather have Zach leaking out because he is the guy I want to have. And the Bulls were doing that. They were getting down in transition and getting buckets that way. And you have to do that against the Milwaukee Bucks in a defense that's like that. So getting easy buckets is what it is. I'm not going to say it's like an egregious, like, J.R. Smith level type mental lapse, but it is a pretty bad one. It looked pretty bad optically when we all saw it on TV, so I'm sure people will be talking about it. Zach LaVine did shoot 13 of 26 from the field today, though. 50%, obviously. 3 of 10 from behind the arc. Just 1 of 3 from the line, which is a little bit surprising. 8 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, just 1 turnover. This is a great game from him all around. Just a really great effort, really great game. He was getting, talking about his knee and the health of his knee, Trey. I'm not seeing it. He was getting that basket and scoring, I think, with relative ease. Again, this is a tough defense. And like you said, maybe it's after the game. And this is a back-to-back, actually. He played last night, and he's playing this game. So that's a really good sign, I think, that he looked even this good playing in the second half of a back-to-back.
That's what I was going to mention, was the fact that it was the second night. So now the question is, how's the swelling going to be after the second night of a back-to-back in such an intense game? He played 38 minutes, so it's not like he's on a minutes restriction or anything. He was out there DeRozan played 39, so, right there, most minutes for the game. So I hope that he doesn't miss the next game. I don't want his knee to swell up after this one and then, him to need to rest after that one. If he plays in the next game, that's when I'm going to be 100% ready to go. But this is a great sign, the fact that he was able to be out there this long and to not have any issues with it. That's, things are looking up injury-wise for Zach right now, knock on wood.
I will blame his knee, though, on that play where Bobby Portis met him at the rim and blocked his shot, because obviously that's just because he had has a knee problem. That wouldn't happen otherwise, Trey. He would have dunked it on him otherwise, right?
I love Bobby, so I'm going to give Bobby his credit. He came with force, and
he timed it right.
Yeah, he timed it right, and
that's a good block.
He practiced. He's played with Zach, I'm pretty sure, right? Did they play together? Did they play together?
Yeah, they were definitely. Yeah. At least 1 year, I'm sure. Yeah.
Right, like, he knows. If not, he's been win against him. He knows you have to come correct against Zach. And Bobby Portis, he came up and he attacked Zach, and when he blocked the ball, like, he smacked it backwards out of his hands, because if you don't do that, he's going to dunk on you.
I had to laugh because Doris Burke on the national broadcast, they were giving they flashed a camera on Bobby Portis like a few minutes later, and they were like, and she was like, oh, his eyes are still wide with being, excited about that block. It's like, dude, that's just how he always looks, Doris. I'm sorry. He's crazy eyes, Bobby Portis. Yeah, Bobby Portis just has those crazy eyes. You don't want to mess with that guy. He had a good game, though. 5 of 9 from the field, 12 points, 7 rebounds.
Before we get off of Zach, though, how amazing was that one-handed pass? When Kobe White's scrambling on the ground, he throws it to Zach, and Zach makes that one-handed pass to was it Io or was it Derrick Jones?
Yeah. No, I think that was the Derrick Jones Jr. actually. I think.
Yeah, that was the Derrick Jones Jr. one. And then he dunked on Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Because then later, Zach passed to Io, who threw up the alley-oop for Zach.
Yeah.
Or that was a different one. But that Zach pass, that one-handed, as soon as he caught it, just bullet. It was just.
That was some excellent awareness. Yeah.
That was the most impressive Zach pass I've seen this year.
Yeah, definitely.
It was just, in terms of the vision, the playmaking, the ability, that was the best Zach pass of the year.
And, we're excited talking about this game. I mean, it is a loss, and the Bucks absolutely deserve to win this game. And, I can't be mad about this loss, but it was absolutely probably the best game that I've watched in the last, 2 weeks. Since the All-Star break, this is probably the best game they've played. Unfortunate that they didn't pull out a win, Trey. But I think what really tilts the scale for me is just the effort on the defensive side. And like you said, those plays like that where you have the awareness to, on a transition bucket and it was a loose ball, Zach gets a hand on it and just immediately throws up the court. You had several plays that were like that, that were hustle plays. But they were also smart plays, and you got the ball advanced and you got easy buckets out of those plays. And you saw that from the Bulls a lot. And I hope we keep seeing that from the Bulls, because if they play like that against the Atlanta Hawks last night, Trey, we win that game. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. If we play like we did tonight against the Bucks, against the Hawks last night, we win. Well, I mean, what do you think? Am I crazy?
There are very few teams in the league that we don't beat when we have this kind of effort. Mm-hmm. And it took, 39 minutes from Giannis, 39 minutes from Middleton, and 38 minutes from Holiday to get the job done against the Bulls. So when you go against the champs and it's this close, I know there's no such thing as a moral victory, but this was a good game for the Bulls, and you're not always going to win good games when you're going against the top quality competition, especially when you're on the second night of a back-to-back and you're shorthanded.
As long as the Bulls can stay in the top five teams, which I think they can, as long as they get healthy here, and as long as they start winning a few games, obviously. I don't think there's a very good chance that they meet the Milwaukee Bucks in the playoffs. I think, if they win their first round playoff series, I think they'll probably play somebody else. But so I don't think there's a really good chance. But if you're playing the Bucks in a seven-game series, yeah, good luck. I don't see the Bulls beating the Bucks in a seven-game series at all. I did say that the Bulls contained Giannis Antetokounmpo. He ended up with 34 points on 12 of 22 shooting, 16 rebounds. So 5 assists, 2 steals, a block. He did have 4 turnovers, 10 of 19 from the line, which is really where he was. That was the big negative, I would say, for Giannis. For whatever reason, he did not have a stroke from the free throw line. Other than that, just incredible. This guy has to be a perpetual MVP candidate as long as he's in the league. And he's still, 27, 28? He's still pretty young.
I believe he's 27.
27, yeah. So could even still get better, which is just the absolutely scary part, because this guy is just an absolute monster and just a nightmare to try to guard on the defensive end. So Bulls did a great job on him, and he still had that stat line. So, people want to say DeMar DeRozan, MVP season, and, I get it. We want to be homers, but I don't know. I can't put him above Giannis, really, in good faith. What about you? I mean, you watch
what Giannis does on a night like tonight, and tonight was an off night for Giannis. Tonight was a bad night for Giannis. He went 10 of 19 from the line. I think he's shooting what, like 70, high 70% percentage-wise.
Yeah, he's shooting pretty well
from the free throw line this year. He didn't make a single 3-point shot, which he only shot 2. But the Bulls, what I saw, they were leaving him pretty open from the 3-point line anytime he was out there. So for a poor Giannis game, I have him in that top 3 MVP case, and then I've got DeRozan and Ja Morant at that 4-5 spot.
Something interesting I'm looking at here now, Trey. Troy Brown Jr. is still 2 of 2 from the field today, so I think he's like 6 of 6 from the field the last 2 games. Obviously he played 8 minutes tonight. Not a huge difference here, but again, doing what he has to do. I did see him hit that 3 when he came into the game, so I want to keep seeing that out of him. Just efficient offense is all we need from that guy, and maybe just a little bit of activity on the boards and stuff like that. He's still in the rotation, just barely hanging on, basically. Io. Let me talk about Io, though. Io Adesumu, been taking some DeMar DeRozan lessons. Io in the mid-range, he had a couple of really great moves in the mid-range. I don't know if you maybe saw the first one, Trey. You might not have caught that one, but he had a couple of basically DeMar moves where he was just like at that elbow spot, did maybe a little pullback dribble, and then took a jump shot and nailed it twice. He ended up 4 of 7 from the field, I believe it was. I was just looking at let me see here. 4 of 7 from the field, 57%, 8 points. So obviously not a huge offensive workload, but the defense was just absolutely incredible at points. He did get cooked by Jrue Holiday in the fourth quarter, but man, again, these are some of the best players in the league. So I thought Io had a good game
and
tonight.
I didn't even see him necessarily get cooked a lot. It was just a veteran
making
player
great shots.
Getting good shots. I thought Io was able to, get at least decent contests. I didn't get to catch his mid-range shots that you were referring to. But what I did notice was he had 7 assists tonight. And one of the reasons he's able to get those assists is he's great in the pick and roll whenever he gets the guy on his back, doing that like Chris Paul thing where he just literally dribbles in front of the guy to keep his guy behind him as he kind of just tiptoes towards the basket, and then he can just basically hand off to Vooch and give Vooch a layup. I noticed that at least once. He's really improved as a playmaker, but that defensive intensity tonight, it was really nice to see an Io game that it would he Io had that stretch where everyone was talking about him. It was all the Io love. And then, you know, he kind of lulled back down to the reality, you know, back to the mean a little bit. But this was one of those games where he just kind of brought it. And it was nice to have.
I just think, I like what you said there, Trey, about, you know, using that Chris Paul. Basically, you're feeling out the defender after you come off the screen, getting him on your back, and then just kind of going from there. And that's just, I just think he's got incredible basketball IQ, because you can see this guy out there directing veterans on what to do, people that have played in the league for, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. And he's probably better than most of them at understanding the game and understanding where he needs to be. Like you said, how to take advantage of what the defense does off of that pick and roll action. And I just can't wait to see what this guy does, man. I hope the Bulls hold on to him for a long time.
Do you remember whenever he like just knifed through the 3 Milwaukee Bucks? It was like a one-man fast break for a layup. I think it was like late in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Just that kind of awareness. You mentioned his basketball IQ, you know, his feel for the game. He saw that the Bucks, you know, they got back and they kind of realized, oh, it's just the Bulls only have one player. And he realized they relaxed and he just turned on the Jets and got a layup out of it. That basketball IQ, it shows up all over whenever he's
I think that was on Chris Middleton. Yeah, it was like a transition. And yeah, like you said, I think there was 3 Bucks basically backpedaling. I think Middleton was at the rim. He just noticed that Middleton was at the rim.
Yeah, it was Middleton.
Yeah, he noticed Middleton was at the rim and he can't really contest. Io's got too much athleticism for Middleton to really contest him. So he just turned on the Jets and got that layup. So absolutely love it, man. He had a couple of full court layups tonight that were just money, just a little chef's kiss there. I should probably get this in here though before we end here. We have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to 100 bucks. Plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Like pick player props. PPP on the biggest names every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. I got a frog in my throat, man. What else did you notice tonight, Mr. Trey? Anything good?
Or bad? I mean, I thought they looked like they belonged against the defending champs in a night where the champs were, they had all their players. They were trying to win. It was an intense game. And I thought the Bulls just held their own. And to me, that's a good sign come playoff time. I know everyone wants, you know, it's a 4-game losing streak and that sucks.
Yeah.
But big picture looking the way the Bulls played tonight, if they can play that kind of style going forward, that's the results will come.
Let's talk about, so that's the narrative, right? And we heard it tonight on the ESPN broadcast. We're going to hear it all over forever and ever until we get Lonzo and Caruso and Patrick Williams back. And we actually have our full team. The Bulls can't beat a over 500 team, a playoff team, whatever, you know, you hear either one. There's not really a lot of nuance there, or you know, they really don't really have a lot of attention to the detail when they throw these things around. The Bulls are now, I think, 14-18, I believe, against teams that are above 500. So you know, it's a valid criticism. I'm not going to say it's not. Obviously, you know, you and I and fans that have watched this team a long time know we've said this a million times. Don't judge this team until, you know, we have everybody back. I mean, we are missing some really key pieces in Lonzo and Patrick Williams specifically, but I think Alex Caruso also is a key piece that people will probably discount. So three of the top 6-7 players on the team out. Point of attack defense, absolutely atrocious. That didn't really rear its head tonight, but it has against a lot of these teams that are over 500. So, you know, again, if I'm a Bulls fan, Trey, I'm not buying into this narrative that the Bulls at full health can't beat these teams. I think they're just hanging on, treading water until they get Lonzo Ball back, Patrick Williams back, and Caruso back, and then we can go ahead and actually play a playoff series. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think it's really boils down to the injuries. To me, it's when you look at the Utah Jazz and Rudy Gobert, the way that imagine taking Gobert out of the Utah Jazz system. You know, say he was out until the playoffs. The Jazz would, they're going to struggle, and they're going to struggle hard. To me, the Bulls are in that same kind of boat because the Bulls have built their defensive system around having this certain, you know, this certain set of guys that can do this specific thing, right. And they've lost that entire set of guys.
Yes.
The Jazz have built their entire defensive system around having this one thing and playing around that one thing. And if you take that away, everything's going to crumble around it. Mm. So to me, I would love for them to get some wins. You'd like to see that. But
well, there's we'll a clear
come play out. Again, like the game they played tonight. Is
yeah.
What win or lose, the game tonight tells me that the Bulls are, come playoff time, I expect them to be contenders. If the Bulls had caught the Bucks on the second night of a back-to-back and Middleton and Holiday weren't playing and Giannis was playing, you know, Giannis was the only one that was playing and the Bulls were able to win, I wouldn't even value that win as much as this loss.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. And yeah, it's really, man, once we get these bodies back, it's going to be just a totally different ball game. That team that we saw in the first, 20 games or so, and that's not even including Patrick Williams, 30 games, whatever it was that Lonzo Ball was basically healthy. Just such a different team. And man, that team's the one I want to see again. That's the one I'm hanging around for. Cause if they can get those guys back for the last, 15 to 20 games of the season and, show us that they have that chemistry they had to open the season. The league better watch out. If the Bulls are still a top 4 or 5 seed, I think there's no issue at all winning that first series, and then we'll see what happens from there. I mean, anything can happen. Let me go ahead and mention Coby White tonight. Didn't have a great shooting night. 1 of 4 from the field, 1 of 4 from three. He shot all of his field goal attempts from 3-point land. 1 of 4. I mean, just not enough really field goal attempts to really bash him for having a bad shooting night. It is what it is. But he had one of the biggest rebounds, Trey, in that fourth quarter by getting a rebound, an offensive rebound over Giannis. So I thought that was pretty impressive, seeing our basically backup point guard or backup shooting or whatever you want to call him, getting an offensive rebound over a 7-foot-tall, basically, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then let's touch on this, obviously, because this is going to be something anyone that listens is going to hear about. The Derrick Jones Jr. foul on Grayson Allen, getting a little bit of revenge there. I didn't feel it was egregious. Maybe he did. I think he probably gave a little motion knowing that it was Grayson Allen and gave him a little elbow to the head. It's fine. I mean, I think payback's been served. Grayson Allen didn't end up in the hospital or missing any games. So the payback wasn't exactly even or anything like that. But I think I'm okay with it. I think we can move on with our lives. What do you think?
Yeah, Io had the opportunity to just absolutely lay Grayson Allen out if he wanted to. He decided not to. He took the high road. I'm glad, he's a great kid. You don't want him to have that kind of reputation going forward.
No.
I'm not saying I would have made that same decision, but I'm glad that he made the right decision. And it was a nice elbow to, it was really kind of the perfect revenge elbow, right? Purely incidental. Just graze him a little bit. It was a nice little nod.
So you got the little thing there. We can move on with our lives. Whether or not Grayson Allen had the intent to hurt Caruso in his mind, I'll never know. You'll never know. We'll never know. Not something we can know. But he's a smarmy little BAS. What else comes after that? So I'm glad he got a little bit of a payback at least.
I don't think he meant to hurt him, but I think he just has a disregard for if an injury happens. Is that,
maybe just a lack of empathy, basically, kind of, in a way. Yeah. I can see that. Because of all the issues that he's had with the tripping and whatnot, maybe he thinks it's like the right play to make or something. And, he doesn't realize that it's negatively affecting people in a different way. People are like that all the time. So yeah, I could buy that. Sure.
I mean, I call for hard fouls all the time. I am an adamant believer in, making sure if you're going to foul the guy, make sure he doesn't make the layup type stuff, wrap the guy up. But so, I can see where he might hear me say that and think, well, that was a hard foul on Caruso.
Right.
But, you know, to me, when I say a hard foul, but you limit it to where you're not going to risk injuring the other guy. And to me, that's the difference.
It was pretty bang-bang, too. I mean, you know, it's a case where the thing that really, I think, stuck in my craw about that play was that after it happened, he didn't check to see if he was okay. He did, you know, he's over on the bench.
He laughed.
Yeah, he's laughing.
He laughed.
And he said he was laughing because his teammate made a joke. But, like, why is his teammate joking at him like this? You know, a guy's injured. Like, it just, you know, none of it really rings true enough for me to, like, forgive him. But I could see where, you know, it's not like he's a Morris twin or something. Like, he's not out there doing, like, dangerously crazy crap all the time. So, last question I have for you before we go here, Trey. Is there a rivalry brewing between these Bulls and these Bucks? What do you think?
Yeah. There's been a rivalry since Giannis decked Mike Dunleavy and showed the world that he was a villain.
Giannis is a villain?
You root for this man?
I don't know if I can buy Giannis as a villain.
No, that guy is just too sweet. I can't do that bit. I can't do it. But no, maybe a little bit. There's always, you know, the Bears and the Packers have that Wisconsin Illinois rivalry.
Right.
So I think there might be a little bit of a rivalry, but to me it's not one that's bitter. It's not Giannis, you know, tackling our guys like he used to.
Yeah, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to hate. I'm trying to think if there's any team right now in the NBA that I absolutely hate. I don't think there is. I mean, there might be individual guys. And obviously Grayson Allen is a good foil for you, or a good heel for you if you want to have one. But no, I can't bring myself to hate the Milwaukee Bucks. There's just not, I don't think there's like an old school type rivalry there, but I think it's going to be some darn good basketball games. You know, as we meet them, what, two more times, I think, before the season's over, if I'm correct, or it's gotta be two more, 'cause we played them once before. This is the second meeting. So probably, yeah, two more times that we play them here in the next 20 or so games or whatever the Bulls have here. So with this loss tonight, Trey, the Bulls fall to fourth in the Eastern Conference. They do fall below the Bucks. They did flip with the Bucks there. They are three games behind the Miami Heat. The Bucks are also three games behind the Miami Heat. Sixers are sitting in second, two games behind the Miami Heat. And then we've got the Celtics, just a game and a half behind us, four and a half games behind the Miami Heat. It's going to be tough, man. I think the Bulls have about 20 games left here in the season, and it is not easy. It is a difficult lineup. We did schedule, I should say. We did show about this during the All-Star break, so go back and listen to that if you haven't already. I know I asked you before, Trey, you know, would the Bulls fall to sixth or possibly into the play-in? And I know you said, I don't think so. And I think, you know, the Bulls have a good chance to stay out of there. But what are your thoughts right now at this juncture after this loss?
My thoughts are, I hope that this year's version of the Bulls-Celtics first round matchup is as exciting as some of the previous Bulls-Celtics first round matchups have been. Because whether the Bulls are fourth or fifth, it looks like the Bulls and the Celtics are lining up to probably, you know, meet up in that 4-5 matchup one way or the other.
That would be a very interesting matchup. I could see that going either way, because I do know that the Celtics are playing well. I know you've been on the Celtics bandwagon a little bit since the preseason, and I think they're playing very, very well, but I do think the Bulls can beat them. Go ahead.
I do too. You mentioned earlier you didn't hate I don't even remember what team you were talking about, but you said you didn't hate them. What team would you hate to lose to the most in the playoffs? Like, just looking at the standings and imagine losing to that team, which one just makes you the most upset?
I just think, you know what? I've always had this thing with the Atlanta Hawks. I would just hate to lose the Atlanta Hawks. I just don't
like
Me
too, man. I
just
don't
like I don't like Trae Young. I don't know what it is about his face or his just demeanor, but I just don't.
I mean, you hate Steph Curry too, so of course you're going to hate East.
I just hate the little
Steph Curry.
Yeah, the little dudes that just, you know, just like to have a big attitude. I still like them. So yeah, I wouldn't like to lose to Atlanta Hawks, but at the end of the day, if they lose to anybody, I'm not actually going to be like that upset about it. I don't know. I just have this like weird thing about the Hawks. So there you go.
The Hawks, Losing to the Heat still stings a little bit. I wouldn't hate it. You know, I'm not going to be upset about it, but that one would sting a little. But the Hawks, I think, would be the worst team to lose to in the first round. So
I just don't buy that they're good. So that'd probably be the thing that would bother me the most.
Oh, man, don't say that. They're going to be like, we're going to match up against the Hawks in the first round. And we're going to be like just hoping they don't come back. These comments don't come back to bite us.
Knowing my luck, that might be happening. But anyways, quickly before we sign off, I want to also remind everyone to use the coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. Until next time, I think we're going to be back tomorrow, guys, with a longer episode, a more bigger view type episode, a little bit longer for you. But until next time, I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSPP Keith. And Trey, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at Final Finally.
And please follow the show at Ethos Bulls, guys. Give us those followers. We need them. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, especially if you're listening there. Let us know how we're doing. And until then, Bulls.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Springhill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.